settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello, I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week with our spirit friends, we discuss a different topic of interest, and our hope is that through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us, we can offer you further options and choices to mull over and investigate within your own mind. This week's show is called Finding the Ladder of Life.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 9 p.m. and Thursdays at 2 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us or our books and CDs, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. In the meantime, we try to give you a very brief synopsis of what the show is about. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be bringing through spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you and Sylvie. Gregory will borrow my body for the rest of the show, and I will not know of anything else that happens from then on. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, and has come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. And I'll let Sylvie tell you a little more, because I have to go into trance now. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Apart from his many other tasks in the spirit world, Gregory Hay is the spokesperson for an educational group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. He was asked to be the representative of the group, and they consist of many, many great minds who want to help humanity and save our world. Scientists, doctors, philosophers, and all kinds of scholars and experts from all walks of life are behind the scenes at every event that we bring about. Our aim as the mediums for the group is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, dear friend. Thank you very much for inviting us. As always, it is with the utmost love that we are here.
You're welcome. It's always a pleasure.
Well, we are to talk of finding the ladder of life.
That's right.
And many people, when they open their eyes finally to what life may hold for them, is it that they individually seek to express themselves? Do they necessarily know what expression to make? Can it be revealed to every individual that the dreams they have of what they wish to be are there to be finally realized? In part, this is sometimes to do with the effects that the spirit of the individual has made in the spirit world before you have a physical journey. It may be that you are lucky enough to remember some of the situations and instances which have happened to you in the spirit world prior to your physical life. These instances may bring a form of wonder about a particular subject. Perhaps it has helped you in forming an opinion about it, perhaps as to whether you are attracted to it or not. It may well be that for some, this memory comes as a gift to that person. And what then happens is that they, from a very early age, are able to define what that dream or that gift they have is and how it is realized in the physical body. After all, it is through the conscious memory sometimes that a person identifies with a particular thing that they'd wish to do. Perhaps it is explained by some that they had a certain calling to make in their physical life, or that they were gifted as a child. All of this actually stems from relationships formed in the spirit world prior to the physical journey. It may well be that some of you are able to remember these journeys, and so you already have an interest, or more so, you may already have had practical experience in that particular craft, which means, of course, that you are already displaying a very real and rich talent there to adorn the rest of the population with the wonders of the spirit world before you were even physically born. How this then may sometimes make itself manifest in the physical state of reality means that as a child you may be something of a prodigy. It may well be that this talent airs some kind of exclusivity over the enormous strength that one gift can have upon one individual. It may well mean that all of this is identified within your mind, that you understand implicitly everything about it. Perhaps, say, it is to do with a musician. Take Beethoven, for example. As a child, he could write music almost before he could walk. He could certainly play the piano before he could properly stand. All of this is a part of the mark of the gift that he had as a spirit being and continues to have in the spirit world. For others, of course, on your side of life, it may not be so easy to actually define what it is that you are trying to resurrect in your physical life, what it is that you're trying to actually bring about as a gift so that you can occupy a place in your life. Perhaps it may be it is necessary to you to actually be able to form an opinion of what that gift might be. To others, this gift may remain elusive. To many, it may be to struggle through life, going as if aimless, trying to find your niche, where it is you fit in. This can be a life of illumination, or it may be a life of worry and scorn. How then do you really find which rung of the ladder you are on, or which particular ladder that might be? I have to say that for many it remains, although elusive to them, that they cannot find their ideal dream. It may be that the dream that they had was too great, or was beyond their scope of reality, beyond their ability maybe. Some people are like that. They just try to leap beyond their capability, and there is nothing wrong with trying to extend yourself. We applaud all beings who try to look outside of self to the very real possibilities of engagement which may be there to illuminate the mind consciousness. It may actually be that there is a form of understanding which actually becomes a part of that life, even though you may not have dreamt about it, even though it may not have been in the images of what it was that you wanted to do with your life. It may be that you just arrive on a particular situation, and there it is, right in front of you. You have found your reason for living. You have found the thing that excites you. So why is this so important? It isn't necessarily an important thing in the spirit world. To we on our side of life, it is not necessarily that we have to find a particular point or a particular post. We do not have to identify with a particular strategy for coping with our lives. Indeed, my friends, what may happen in the spirit world is that we actually feel quite happy being what we are, doing what we are, taking place in what event we are bringing about in our actual reality. We do not have the situation as you do in the physical state, where you apply to everything as it must be done now, or that you yearn for situations or events outside of your control, or beyond the possibility. Dreams are there, very important. And perhaps they are to be fulfilled, but not for everyone, not necessarily. Some people may have the lowliest of thoughts. It may be just to try to ascertain, try to find what it is they are going to eat the following day, how they are going to survive. For some people, the crucial test of life is just that. This is something, of course, that even not so long ago, certainly in my day, but even later than that, just perhaps say 50 or 60 years ago, the whole situation was much more tenuous. It may be the situation was not about how many things you had of material wealth, but really how you could support yourself or your family within your home situation, how you could even have a roof over your head. Many still see that as a problem today, as we can see from our observations of daily life. The physical world is very similar to how it was when I was in the physical state of life, just that certain things have changed, of course. We never had telephones, or motor cars, nor aeroplanes, nor any of the technology that you have now. In many respects, you should be far more comfortable. I believe that you probably are. But how does this help you to explore or find your happiness? Your own inner happiness is very often defined materially by what your possessions have become, how you have accrued them within your life. That becomes a bit of a problem, and often can be a source of resistance for you to be able to actually establish your true identity in your life path. Does this then really have anything to do, perhaps, with your own spirituality? How it is that you would be able to benefit through your spiritual growth if you are undecided about the possibilities that lie ahead for you? If you have not had a good education, how are you possibly going to reveal those secrets within, the gifts that you have? If you have had a poor upbringing, how is that actually going to be tolerated within your family group? Would it be perhaps that your dreams are of something outside of your caste, if it is of a caste system that you belong? Or perhaps outside of your standing in your community? Some people have ideals way beyond their means or possibility, and yet twists of fate, or be it synchronicity, may sometimes draw the hand across the plane of existence and yield the fruit for just one individual, just one person, to find suddenly they are in and living their dream.
I'd like to welcome anyone who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about finding the ladder of life. Do we all have a gift of some description?
Everyone has a gift of something. The problem I see is that many people do not identify with what that gift might be, cannot possibly see that they have a gift, perhaps because they feel so negative about everything to do with self. It may be that this attitude has been adopted because of people frequently telling them so, that they are not well endowed, or that they have a poor mind, or that they are worth less in their eyes. In which case, of course, you as a victim of this form of abuse become worthless in your own eyes, because you have been told that is what you are. If people tell you long enough that that is what you are, you will begin to believe it. Unfortunately, yes, everyone has a gift. Everyone on your side of life may bring the gift of healing towards someone else, for example. It may be that your gift of healing is not necessarily to do with the aspect of God that spiritual icons and gurus flout as being the renaissance of life. It may well be that your gift of spirit is a very personal thing, a very simple nature. Perhaps you are able to draw or paint. Perhaps you are able to just talk or listen. Being a good listener is a gift in itself. Knowing when to open one's mouth with words of comfort or words of shared joining and understanding, that is an important gift to have. Everyone has the gift of healing, and it may be just through words, it may be by your very presence. How often has it been that just by your presence of, perhaps, say, being in the company of a loved one who is ill or something like that, just by your presence and knowing what exactly to say or do without actually asking them, perhaps it is to do with a family member who is having a child or something like that, and you go around there to help them. You visit them in their house and you help them without actually them having to ask you what you can do to help them. Perhaps you are doing this not out of charity, but because you can see it is something you can bring a positive input into their family life. Perhaps it is to do with helping someone who is ill in some way and needs help with shopping or medicine or something like that. Perhaps just taking them to the doctors or ferrying them to the hospital, helping them cope with day-to-day life, runs quite difficult for some people who are ill. And very often, those of you have and show your gift of compassion, your gift of reality, of seeing and understanding the needs and the requirements of those you love. Is that not a gift in itself? To be able to show and identify that you understand, you know where they are living, you understand how they feel, and what will actually help them to feather their nest so they do not feel as though they are helpless in their hour of need. That brings a positivity to the cheeks of many.
You see, I think from those last statements, I think possibly people will be thinking, well, I never actually realised that I could call those attributes that I may have or that I see in others a gift. I think we have a goal or a gift in mind, maybe that we've seen somebody else have, and then we want that gift and we strive for that gift and are very disappointed then when we don't have it. We admire people for their lives and
yes,
their looks. We are usually famous people, we want to be like them.
That, my friend, is because it is personified as being the acclamation that you wish to take for yourself. It is because you see that, because it is applauded, therefore you wish to be applauded. You wish to also fulfill that role because you feel it will fill the hole of desire that remains unfilled within you.
We rate gifts, don't we? We rate gifts on a scale of being the highest and the best gift that we want. To little ones, we don't really notice.
Yes, quite so. That is true. Which is what I am saying, really. I suppose that people, human beings in physical life, tend to take gifts of advantage, really, as just a part of life. They do not see them as gifts that they have. But that is because they are not really opening their eyes to the energy which surrounds thought and emotion, which surrounds the possibility of care, and bringing that care to the creation of self to help someone else in need is an infinitely wonderful proposal and energy to bestow on anyone else.
But unless you're an egotistical person, you don't really notice your gifts, your personal gifts, because if they're your personal gifts that have maybe happened naturally, then that came easy to you because it is just you, part of you, you don't notice it. And other people notice it in you, and yet you are standing there looking at the gifts that they've got, thinking, oh gosh, you know, that must be wonderful.
Yes, quite so. Grass is always greener on someone else's lawn.
Yes, but it's hard to see your own gifts.
It is, and that is part of the problem, I feel, friend. In the society in which you live, not personally, of course, but generally on your side of life, people tend to be disgruntled by those avenues they seek or that they see other people approaching. And rather than just applauding them for the fact that they have achieved that, actually become jealous of that aspect of their life. Or their whole demeanor toward it becomes one of a form of conspiracy. Why can I not ever have that or achieve that in life? Part of the problem, I feel, may well be because materially people in certain countries, most definitely, are actually anchored into the thought process of that material wealth must be obtained in order to bring happiness.
Yes. But can we try too hard to find our gifts?
Well, I do not think that you can try too hard. I think that sometimes people are on the wrong pathway simply, are not actually acknowledging the true gifts that they have and instead try to force upon themselves other ideals that others have, which they admire, by the way, but which actually do not fit their lives. So they try to fit their own lives into other people's way of thinking. And this, of course, will bring about a greater problem to the life they lead because it will mean that whatever they do will not be successful because they are actually not living their own dream but someone else's.
Mm. We are driven by competition, aren't we? At school, even from school, we have tests we have to be better than, we have races.
Yes, of course, but that is part of the competition status that echoes back from times of when, for example, in the animal kingdom, you would have a troop of monkeys or whatever, and they would behave in a certain way in the group setting. They would all have their place within the hierarchy of the troop itself, and would acknowledge their position, but would always strive to change it. The reason why is because in order to raise one's status, what you are doing is improving the possibility of continuing your genetic line and perhaps mating with someone who is genetically acceptable or a good catch as you see it. I'm sorry to bring it to this, but that is actually the underlying cause behind it. Part of the struggle that human beings face at this present time in material wealth gathering is to do with this budding energy of how you would try to provide for a possible mate. How you would actually then see that your place within the community or within your status, shall we say, within that community is fared. And that, of course, gives you grace as to whether you have become acceptable in your life or not. Have you achieved the situations, scenarios that you set out to? Have you reached the goals you have set? It will all depend upon these gatherings of your energy and how it is that you can actually depict the gifts in your life, whether they are going to be of service to you, whether they actually are going to bring you the material wealth that you desire, because that is materially what your society is based upon, not upon religious circumstance necessarily, although that does have a bearing upon it as well.
Very often the way people make a living, very often don't appreciate that as their gift, but maybe what they do of recreational activity or their artistic side of their nature, music, art or something other than that, they would call that their gift.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So we're all striving for something. We don't know what it's going to be, but it's ultimately it's fulfillment of some degree, isn't it?
Yes, of course, because what you do is in acknowledging a gift you may have and then continuing to work upon it to bring it energy, to feed it and to actually experience the control that you may have over it, or the way that it brings new experience into the light of your realm of existence. It means then surely that as you progress along your gift path and the way in which you are able to better benefit your situation with using it, or actually to enhance the life of others, then you are bringing a successful outcome. You are bringing positive energy toward yourself. Which means, of course, that is, in some respects, rewarding yourself in its own way.
Mm.
Just the same as if you have a spiritual gift and you are communicating with those on our side of life, in whatever way or form that is, bringing healing or bringing other forms of communication, is that not a gift also? They are all gifts. It doesn't matter whether they are specific or type.
You say in your book, Spirit Walks with Gregory, we journey as an individual, and that it is only mankind that wants to be part of a herd.
Well, realizes that as a point of fixation, I suppose. Wanting to be in a particular station within the herding group. That is my point.
Yes.
That you wish to achieve status, as I say. The roundabout route for that is in saying, if I achieve status, therefore I will achieve a better class of life. Happiness equals material wealth and gain, equals also a happy family, which means my genetic continuance is almost assured.
Mm, yes, and you're also saying that we don't have to follow each other around, that we are individual. You say that you need to interact and not lead a solitary existence, that if you don't have others to act as sounding boards for ideas, explanations and intelligence, that we never learn anything. We need to use that interaction with each other
to grow. That is very true.
Yes.
Yes. It is also, though, true to say that others will take time out from that form of communication and attraction, will take time out and actually perhaps look within a self, will use that moment or that period of contemplation to analyze and crystallize the clarity possibility of an idea or a position in life. And therefore, after that has become realized, that person then may move forward and be better informed or actually realize that gift. as it may have a resulting effect upon others.
What about the religious or spiritual environments of monasteries and temples, where days are spent in silence and contemplation and prayer?
Absolutely. That, of course, does not have anything to do with the monetarialism of material life. It is actually to do with the upper house consciousness. It is to do with the whole ethos of being away from material wants, needs and desires. The whole ethos behind spirituality is asexual. It is not to do with gender. It is not to do with finding your genetics as battling upon others' genetics. You are not in a competition or race of any form, or at least that is the idea behind it. Some people, even at that, are in a form of competition. They see that other people have acquired their gifts through this route, therefore they must do so the same. Repeat the excursion, even if it does not actually suit them. Therefore, you would have many people possibly attending a monastery. It doesn't mean to say that all will become believers in that particular faith-based religion or in that ideal set for spiritual growth. It may be their spiritual understanding is revealed in another way, perhaps just by being in a park and looking at a tree, perhaps studying grass very closely, perhaps looking at insects through a microscope or through a magnifying glass. Perhaps it is that you observe your life through a television set, that you are observing situations of your planet's worth. You find great wonder through that, and great possibility of your understanding unfolding before your very eyes just because you have dared to look. Is that not true in the same instance to someone who maybe spends years in a monastery contemplating or meditating? Are they any further forward in their pursuit or their understanding of the world around them and their reality? Does that mean to say their occupancy has been greater driven purely because it is of a spiritual nature, when it may well be that they have actually lost contact with other human beings, with the rationale of their own humanity? Their own clarity of vision may be clouded by simply focusing on something which is etheric, essentially, and not actually to do, in fact, in any case, with anything to do with physical life.
Yes, that's an interesting point about some people are happy not to have a dream or an ambition or a goal at all.
Yes, and that is normal too. That is what I'm trying to say. It isn't necessary that everyone has to have this great defined dream within their life by the age of 9 or 10 or whatever it is. Yes, children always wanted to drive ambulances and buses and trains. They didn't in my day, of course, didn't happen. But in my day, it may have been that you wanted to be a woodsman, or being as we were lowly folk, that we even wanted to own a cow or a sheep or goat, that perhaps we wanted to venture as far as having some form of property, if that were ever possible to those meagre folks of peasant stock.
Yes, I mean, the difference these days may be, well, in the Western world, it could be that people would just be happy to get out of the concrete jungle of the inner city or council estate that they live on.
Yes, absolutely so.
Just to better their life, you know.
Yes, even if it is in just a small way. And many, of course, may realize this eventually in their life. They may realize it through the relationships that they have with friends. Friendships are so important, after all. To realizing what your goal is in your ladder of life.
And what about social planning? Do you feel that that is something that needs great change?
Well, unfortunately, of course, social planning has somewhat come adrift from what it could have been. It tends to be that situations are haphazard at best, being the way that actual cities or conglomerations of buildings are structured. How much thought has really gone into that situation? Is there anything to do with foresight in the planning of how human beings really will get on with one another? Isn't that why you have to constantly update laws and restructure mechanisms in order to try to make individual people live together in confined spaces or behave themselves in a certain way? Surely it is not any child's dream to become a murderer. It is not any child's dream, surely, to become some other force of negativity. And yet, what society structures tend to do is isolate some people, to void their dreams, to disallow them or the possibility of how they can overcome the negative sways of their life. It may be, of course, on the other hand, that there just simply is not the time in their life, or that the pressures upon them have meant they have meandered aside from their natural course of events.
Well, people who live in poverty, bad housing and that sort of thing, on these estates or whatever, the built-up areas, they struggle so much that it can build resentment, can't it?
It can be resentment, particularly, of course, as they may well be constantly reminded of those things that they should have succeeded in obtaining. The material gifts, the material wants and desires remain unfulfilled for that greater, larger section of the population, simply because it is something way beyond their reach, beyond the possibility or the capability that they may attain in their life. Therefore, you have people who are very negative.
One thing that seems to happen all the time is that you tend to end back at the same point, the same crossroads in your life, not being able to find your way out.
Yes.
Find the first rung. So yes. Many people, they get positive and they get motivated and then they end up back at the same starting point and they think they just don't know how to go about doing it.
Yes, and this is really a self-defeating purpose because people have some beautiful idea born of their wondrous dreams and desires. And yes, if they bring the right energy, if they have a constituent of luck within their life, they may attain it. But the problem is that it is always due to that, or it appears to be, that not many people are able to actually fulfill the struggling service that they want to reveal in their life. There may be many people who are unhappy because they have not actually attained that which they simply could not achieve. They may have desired it beyond their wildest dreams, and yet they remain in their life as if somehow blocked because synchronicity has not favored them. They have not met the right people at the right time. Perhaps it is to do with some form of audition or something like that. Perhaps it was that they played an instrument or sang or they performed a work of art in some other way, and that they just were not there at the right place at the right time in order for the right people who could help them to actually see and identify their gift and their cause of greatness. Does that mean to say their life has been worthless? Surely what the problem happens to be is that for many people you do not identify with the gift that you can bestow or that you can share just with another person. If you are doing that, are you not increasing their value of life? Why does it always have to be that the gift that you have in order to be successful, in order for it to really fulfill your life, you have to be a household name, or that you have to be internationally recognized, or at least within your own village, or within your own city or nation? Better still, what other way would you have of fulfilling your dream?
Yes.
Much of this is to do with control. Control of your ability to take advantage of moments when the opportunity arises. Many people do not take this as a point of attention. They actually slide away from it, do not feel that it reveals to them their communication that, yes, it is possible to take part in this. They do not see the right signs, perhaps, or fail to see the signs which give them the go-ahead for change. Therefore, they miss the point of when they should act or when you should say specific words in order to bring about a moment of realization. So that you can actually start the ball rolling.
Yes, maybe speaking up for themselves in a conversation where they feel that they could do something
yes,
that somebody else is looking
so.
For.
Yes, absolutely.
Fill
so.
A role and that
yes.
they're too nervous to do that.
Yes, or feel themselves as being worth less than they really are, and in which case do not feel their point is a valued marker to make. They walk away from that situation dejected, thinking then and acknowledging perhaps the fact, even to themselves, if not to anyone else, that they have actually failed to rise to that point of view.
Mm. Re-establishing and reaffirming that they are useless or whatever.
Yes, quite so.
Missed the bus again.
Yes, and that is what I'm saying, really. Mm. All of this is to do with this snakes and ladders situation that life has for everyone. Does it mean to say, then, that a child who is born in Africa, who does not really have the food to eat, or is perhaps a child who is in some war-torn place, how can you say that the desire that child has for peace is one to be realized if the child has to carry a gun to defend him or herself? Does it mean to say their desire for peace is any less because they try to run away from that violence? Or does it mean to say they are meeting the situation head on if they are actually taking part in it themselves because they have raised an expectation of an ideal that is set, of a possibility of their road ahead becoming something different to what they see it is now?
Mm.
You see, many people may not actually have the luxury of being able to live in a place which even has hot running water or good bedding or good food even. But many people actually exist, have a different form of existence in their reality. And that actually the connotation of how they bring about life is to do with whether they get through the day and remain intact.
Yes, and of course if you've got an illness or something like that, to just be pain-free and happy.
Absolutely so, you know. My friend. Yes, absolutely so. It may be, of course, that you as a being are able to bring a gift of healing to someone in such a state. Or perhaps it may be you rely upon others because you are in that state yourself. In this ever-decreasing circle of pain, how can you possibly move beyond that ladder of life to find yourself in a different reality? Partly, the depression which sets in is to do with the mechanic of not seeing past your window, not being able to open your window of life into a different opportunity. Therefore, you become depressed at your inability to react to anything other than the illness that you have and react to it negatively.
In all of these things, it seems like it all boils down to whether we're feeling positive or negative about ourselves and our lives, to whether we make the most of that day or that chance that may be there.
Yes, absolutely so. Very often you see situations pass people by simply because they were not aware of the positive implosion that may happen. Mm. If it was grasped, if it was actually taken on board within a life. It means then that because a person is in a negative state, they may just simply not have seen it, may not have acknowledged it even as being present or a possibility, because their negative state remains uppermost in their eyesight within everything that is focused upon. Therefore, if you see or observe something of positivity in someone else, you would instantly refer to it as being not for you. Not for your energy, because you are lower than that, or you could never rise to that. You would see everything in the mode of failure, rather than seeing the possibility of it having an impact on your life and turning you around, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually does become quite a difficulty with people who are perhaps in some form of chronic illness, or some form of degrading absence in their life. That people in that regard are confined in their walk of life. That is part of the problem, friend.
In their way of thinking, it's in the mind, though, isn't it, a lot of it?
Yes, and if you have not the tools or do not acknowledge the fact that you may have the tools within you, after all, you all have the same toolbox, really. It is just that you have not actually managed to locate which tools you have, which possibilities you have. Therefore, if you do not have the equipment or the foresight to recognize positivity when you see it, if you do not have the foresight to be able to understand or determine what or how positivity actually looks, if you've never seen a frog before and then you suddenly see one, would you actually know it was a frog? If you've never even seen a picture of one, you just simply wouldn't know what it was. And that is the same with anything. So if you have not seen positivity before, if you do not know what it feels like, what it should feel like toward you, how will you know when you've seen it, when it has been given to you? How would you know, really, whether the energy of positivity will actually relate in a positive way toward you or in a negative way? It may be, as I say, that you use a negative energy to determine what a positive thing is. Therefore, you are not actually viewing it with the correct energy in the first place. Your format of looking at it is entirely wrong. This is as though you are trying to see that a small bush will grow into a large tree, when in fact it was only ever genetically meant to be a bush.
And it's when you're feeling like this that you can maybe turn to drink or drugs. I mean, this is what people turn, in a lot of instances anyway, this is what people turn to drink for, isn't it? They can do. And because that gives you a false sense of confidence.
Not only a false sense of confidence, my friend, it also presents a different shade of life to that of their normal reality of being failed. By being failed already, they have no chance of rebuking that failure. Whereas, if you are using some form of narcotic or alcohol or whatever that is, mm-hmm. you are actually altering, you are disguising the persona you see of yourself and changing it into something else that you dream of or that you actually aspire to make. Which is why some people tend to blurt things out when they have had alcohol that they would not otherwise do in their normal realm of life. They are not as restrained, and therefore their process of accepting difference or challenges is something that they feel more relaxed about because they have actually allowed their window of opportunity to open. Of course, naturally, after the alcohol subsides, they will go back to being the reclusive state or the negativity, and seeing that as an objective rather than the possibilities that may lie ahead for them, simply because they've used alcohol as a direct link to a positive trait. Therefore, when they are not in the state of alcohol, they are refuting the link of positivity.
So being positive could have a similar effect?
Absolutely so.
Mm-hmm. And it's long-lasting and it's good for you.
Well, yes, absolutely so. Whereas alcohol tends to be only temporary.
So how do we go about dealing with becoming more positive in our life? I know we've done other programs and have books and CDs and all sorts of information that people can find. So how do we become this person, this achiever, this happy person that we feel is inside of us?
Well, first of all, my friend, you have to recognize as a person, as an individual, what it is that your boundaries are, what it is that you understand your gifts may be. If you have none, then, well, you have to look again because you obviously have not looked hard enough. You do not understand yourself if you cannot see that you have a gift. That is the first point to make. So you need to look harder. You need to put more effort into the self and how you express yourself. How you are in your life. If you cannot do this, then it is because you are not trying hard enough. You may find motivation in the smallest thing. Remember, you do not need to be unhappy in order to feel alive. Remember, you can become a happier person. You may step outside of the realm of your reality and change it for something else. You only need to understand you can do this. Many people fail because they fail to see a possibility, are blinded by their own short-sightedness, so therefore cannot look beyond the present border of the skin that you have or the skin that you have formed around yourself. Look outside of your present to beyond the walls of the prison you have made. Finding the reality of truth is there. It may take a little longer, a little more effort. Sometimes you may have made efforts in your life that have amounted to very little. Do not judge every effort that you make by the standards you have accepted to date. If you always only look at what you have accomplished so far and not of what you may accomplish in your life in the next minute, in the next hour, in the next day, if you cannot see these possibilities, how do you ever think you are going to change?
You say in your book, one of your books, that sometimes levels of understanding take a few goes to get right.
Yes, that is very true. The level of understanding of the possibility of your intention, of instead of living in ignorance, becoming understanding. Is that not a gain for your life? Instead of you failing to be able to read, is it not better that you can read? Even a word or a sentence, to read that is better than remaining in ignorance. If you have eyes to see, then look at what you see. If you see things you do not understand, then use the forces available to you to understand. Use your fingers, use your hands. Walk around that which you see and do not understand until you grasp its reality in your life. People fail upon life's pathway because of using the parameter of what you are in relation to someone else. If you delete the things of what you see in someone else as being what you wish to achieve, it isn't to say then that you will achieve less, but what you will achieve will be for your own self-state. It won't be to keep up with someone else. It won't be there so that you are forcing yourself into the life of another jacket, or is that jacket of another life? Into the way in which someone else behaves. Perhaps their behavior is not your behavior, and vice versa. Their look, their understanding of their life, their take upon their reality is something you cannot adopt because it will not feel the same to you as it felt to them. Therefore, if you are only understanding about what you can make yourself, what you may achieve yourself is not down to someone else. It is accountable to you. And you have to have the determination. If you don't have it, grow it within you. Feed it. Not negative energy, feed it the positivity of the will to survive beyond your present existence now, beyond what you know now. Accumulate more things for you to know, therefore you will grow. You are feeding the well of your life.
Is it a good idea to make a list of your abilities or your achievements and things that you think you're good at?
Yes, your good points.
Yes.
Perhaps you need to continue to think about your good points rather than dwell upon the bad ones. If you insist, you may make somewhat of a list of the negative traits that you see of yourself and then set fire to them. That may be a good way of relieving the pressure of the way that you see yourself. And then write out those qualities that you seriously can see within you. The point is that you don't have to be an Einstein. You don't have to be some glorious writer, artist, scientific inventor, whatever. You may be a petrol pump attendant. You may be someone who takes money in a shop or supermarket. You may be someone who collects rubbish or empties people's dustbins. Are you not a valued being for breathing and living? For seeing your eye of God, you understand? Does that not mean to say you are precious too, and worthy of more than this? Or worthy of at least understanding happiness? Inner happiness is so important, yet so many people deny it themselves because they seek beyond the possibility of what will really make them happy. Usually the things that do make people happy are simple things. Are not complicated, are not steeped in high value to society, but just simple things like conversation or laughter, having good friendships, good strong emotional ties may resonate with some people, whereas for others they may enjoy their own surrounding. Their own passion in life may be something which is a solitary nature, and that is good too. Because through doing that, through being practiced at a specific thing, brings honor to the soul, brings understanding to the spiritual reality,
brings a form of release to the empowerment of the individual to see and acknowledge an accomplishment, an achievement in that day. These are things you can write about. These are things you can enjoy of the value of yourself. Do not worry if you have to face the onslaught of critics or others who say you are worthless. Say to them, I know I am worthy. I know you cannot see my worth, for you are blinded by your own ignorance. I know that you cannot see my worth because you do not know me. If you loved me, you would know me and could see the worth I do, how it makes my heart sing. How else may I reveal the true nature of God within me if I cannot be worthy to my name?
And I don't think that we finish without talking about meditation and how worthy that is.
Of course, because if you really seek to be truly happy, you must seek to be happy with who you are. And how you can achieve that naturally is through a form of meditation, any form of meditation, but one which will reveal most to you about yourself. Will be the meditation of silence. That is truly how you will come face to face with your own reality, not to punish you, not to show you how poor you are, but to uplift you, to make that connection with your physical state and the spirit purity which resides within you helps you to see and identify the truest aspect of God that you are. That in itself will open your eyes to your new day of positivity and possible awareness.
Well, Gregory, we've come to time once more. We've really enjoyed today's show. Thank you very much.
With love and light, little bird, as always, we are ever indebted to the energy you bring.
Thank you so much.
Good day, friend.
Good day.
God bless. In any way, you see that. In any way that fits in your reality and walk of life. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, from every thought of my being.
I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. Our books are available on it and from bookstores and from Amazon.com. And as well as Spirit's Work Radio Show on bloggingservice.com on Mondays and Thursdays, we have the Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistfirst.com on Tuesdays. Details are on our site. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. And until next time we meet, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.